Staff, ladies and gentlemen, the Planning Commission is now in session. We have a few rules and procedures we'd like you to follow to help us expedite today's hearing. First, everyone will be given an opportunity to be heard. When it is your turn to speak, please come to the podium. Well, first, the applicant will be heard, and then those opposed will follow. When it is your turn to speak, please state your name and address clearly for the record. Those in favor will speak first, and then those opposed will speak next. And after that, the applicant will be given an opportunity for rebuttal, and then we'll allow someone to surrebut if necessary. We ask that you limit your presentations to 5 minutes or less. The chair will reserve that right to limit testimony and will exercise that right in the interest of others who have business before the commission. After all the speakers have been heard, the hearing will be closed. Additional comments will not be allowed unless one of the commissioners asks that the hearing be reopened. Finally, the commissioners will discuss the application, make a motion, and vote to reach a decision. If you're not satisfied with our decision, you may be able to appeal it to the Board of Supervisors. Appeals must be filed within a specified period of time after today's hearing, and you can check with staff for the procedures to follow in filing your appeal. Please make sure your mobile phones and pagers are on mute. Thank you. Commissioner Hill, will you lead us in the flag salute, please?
Salute. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you. We have roll call, please.
Commissioner Arabian?
Here.
Commissioner Carver?
Here.
Commissioner Chatha?
Here.
Commissioner Quist?
Here.
Commissioner Wolf?
Here.
Commissioner Zante?
Here.
Vice Chair Hill?
Here.
Chairman Abrahamian?
Here.
Next item on the agenda, we have no items under the consent agenda, so the next item under the regular agenda is public presentations. This is reserved for persons desiring to address the commission on any matter within our jurisdiction, but not on today's agenda. So you come forward and...
Hi. Okay, great. Again, this is Mr. Reap. I reside at 557 West Escalon in Clovis. Before you is a one-page letter that was just handed out this morning, and I'm going to read that to you, and you can follow along if you would like. Those of you who have been part of the Planning Commission for more than a year know that the county's annual progress report, called an APR, on the implementation of the Fresno County General Plan for calendar year 2023 is due to the state and to the Board of Supervisors by April the 1st. Because this commission is a component of the county's planning agency, commissioners have a responsibility to, and this is a direct quote from section 65400 of the government code, investigate and make recommendations to the legislative body, that is the Board of Supervisors, regarding reasonable and practical means for implementing the general plan, so that it will serve as an effective guide for orderly growth and development, preservation and conservation of open space, land, and natural resources, and the efficient expenditure of public funds relating to the subjects addressed in the general plan. That is an important responsibility. For me, the key word in the statute I just cited is the word investigate. I can't find in any of the commission agendas for the last 10 years an indication that the commission ever initiated an investigation regarding the county's ability to fully and effectively implement the general plan. This despite the commission receiving credible evidence over the years, both from planners and county residents, that the county has had difficulty doing so. To my way of thinking, one reason for the commission's lack of inquiry is the absence of complete and accurate information. And the reason for that? Well, one reason is this. The county's annual progress reports do not provide full disclosure, are not transparent about the plan's legal status or implementation. And it's obvious, of course, that you can't investigate difficulties implementing the plan and keeping it in line with state law if you don't have good information. And so today, I'm requesting that your commission direct the county's planning staff to bring you an APR for calendar year 23 that includes all of the content required by statute and by the general plan itself, namely, one, the degree to which the county's 2000 general plan complies with statutory requirements identified in the state's general plan guidelines, two, full disclosure of the county's ability or inability to fully implement each general plan program, and three, a full report on the implementation of the mitigation measures adopted in 2000 to lessen the adverse effects of build-out under the general plan. Without this information, you can't possibly fulfill your responsibility as a planning commission. I'm serious about your commission giving direction to staff about these matters, but I also know that you will need time to think about my request and digest the information I sent yesterday via email. If that's the case, I will return in 2 weeks on February 8th to learn what direction you decide to give to staff. Thank you, and I'd be happy to answer any questions you may have.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Anyone else to speak? Okay, then we'll move on to the regular agenda item number 2.
Regular agenda item number 2, unclassified conditional use permit application number 3709, variance application number 4112, and environmental impact report number 8077 filed by OPA Pistachios, proposing to allow a pistachio processing facility comprised of a four-phase project consisting of 2 drive-over dumping pits, 2 pre-cleansing areas, 2 hauler buildings, 40 dyers with a height of 29 feet, 48 silos with a height of 50 feet, and a processing building in the AE20 zone district, and a variance to allow the 48 proposed silos to be 50 feet in height and the 2 proposed hauler buildings to be 42.5 feet in height, maximum 35 feet allowed, in the AE20 zone district, and allow processed water from the processed facility conveyed via existing subsurface piping to irrigate approximately 3,740 acres of agricultural land owned by the owner. The project site is proposed to be located on a 98-acre portion of a 316.22-acre parcel, which contains the 98 acres processing facilities portions of the project, and is located at the northwest corner of West Muscat Avenue and South Newcomb Avenues, approximately 9.7 miles south of the city of Fireball. And the 3,760 acres of agricultural land is located approximately 2 to 6 miles to the northeast of the project site.
Good morning, Mr. Chairman and members of the Planning Commission, Ijaz Ahmad of the Department of Public Works and Planning. You have been distributed this morning page 40 of Exhibit 7 with corrections. The subject proposal would allow a pistachio processing, sorting, packaging, and shipping facility to be constructed in 4 phases to include construction of dumping pit area, Hewler buildings, processing buildings, dryers, silos, and settling ponds. The project will utilize an existing on-site well to obtain water supply for the project operations. The water supply will be subject to the Westland Water District's groundwater allocation rules and regulations. Processed water from the facility will be stored on-site in settling ponds before it is transported to and applied on farmland. The land application is subject to Central Valley Water Board approval. The project site will gain access via an access drive connecting to Panochi Road. This is a location plan. The project site is located at the northwest corner of Muscat Avenue and Newcomb Avenue south of the city of Fireball. The project site and the surrounding land are zoned AE20 exclusive agriculture. The project site is an active farmland surrounded by field crops, orchards, vineyards, and agriculture-related uses. This is an aerial view of the subject property. The 316-acre project site, which is right here, 98 acres. Portion of the site to be developed is right here in this area. And the applicant owned farmlands, which is right here in this area. And the applicant owned farmlands to receive processed water from the facility via existing subsurface piping system. This is a site plan showing the entire project site and the area to be developed with the proposed facility. The area to be developed is right here. This is another view of the site plan. It's a bigger site plan with more details. Floor plan of the Hewler building. And this is the elevations of the Hewler buildings, dryers, silos. Pursuant to the zoning ordinance, five findings must be made to approve a conditional use permit. The site is adequate in size and shape to accommodate the proposed use. The street and highways are adequate in width and pavements to accommodate the traffic generated by the proposed use. The proposed use will have no adverse effects on the surrounding properties. The proposed use is consistent with general plan policies. The project conditions are necessary to protect the public health, safety, and general welfare. Each of these findings are discussed in detail on page 9 through page 17 of the staff report. The environmental impact report prepared for the project has identified potential impacts on the environment. Mitigation measures were recommended in the EIR and has been accepted by the applicant. Additionally, the project will adhere to the conditions of approval and mandatory requirements of the Fresno County and other agencies. In reviewing this use permit request, the staff was able to make all five findings for the project. Now, pursuant to the zoning ordinance, four findings must be made to approve a variance request: exceptional or extraordinary circumstances applicable to the property, preservation of substantial property rights, adverse effects on surrounding properties, general plan consistency. Each of these findings are discussed in detail on page 17 through page 19 of the staff report. In reviewing this variance request for increased height for silos and other building structures, the staff was able to make all four findings for the project. In conclusion, the staff was able to make all findings for conditional use permit and variance and recommends your commission certify the project EIR number 8077 as complete and in conformance with California Environmental Quality Act and approve the unclassified conditional use permit number 3709 and variance application number 4112 subject to the mitigation measures, conditions of approval, and project notes listed in Exhibit 1 of the staff report. This concludes staff presentation. The environmental consultant will now make presentation on environmental impact report for the project.
Ejaz, I had a couple questions first, if I may. Sure. Just to clarify, and I know you stated it correctly, but just to correct the typo, it's dryers and not dyers as in the subject line.
Okay.
I think we all know that. On the numbers of traffic trips, would you be able to talk about that, or would the consultant be the one to talk about
that? Probably the consultant will have some information on that.
All right, then that's fine. Thank you. Any other questions of EJS?
Mr. Chairman, yes. I might mention the applicant's rep has some very specific information about that as well.
Okay. And I would like to set the timer for 5 minutes so we can keep this going.
Okay.
Thank you. Since he's the consultant, I'll give him a little more latitude, but I hope he keeps his comments brief because we have a very thorough report and he doesn't need to repeat what we already have in front of us, I believe.
I don't want to repeat it.
Okay. Very good.
My name is Kyle Simpson. I'm a principal with LSA. We're a consultant company that specializes in environmental review for land use projects. I won't spend too much time going through the project itself, but in general, an EIR is to provide a public disclosure of any potential environmental impacts that may occur as a result of the proposed project. And if there are any potential impacts, there are mitigation measures that the EIR would recommend for implementation to reduce those potential impacts. One of the major components, though, of an EIR is that this does not, in and of itself, does not approve or deny the project. It merely provides a mechanism for you to review potential impacts that could result from the project for better, for disclosure purposes and for making a decision. There have been several opportunities throughout this EIR process for public comment, as required by the state. We are now in the fourth orange box for the Planning Commission hearing. We have had notice preparation, public scoping meeting itself, a 45-day public review period, and any time during that period, public comments can be received and responded to. I won't spend too much time on the project itself. We've talked a little bit about that, but the project that was described earlier is what the EIR contemplated and evaluated. Site plans. The existing conditions essentially is an undeveloped agricultural-related site. There is this Pilibus Ranch located next door across the road that is a sensitive receptor in terms of CEQA, so we did identify potential impacts related to that and evaluated impacts related to any exposure to sensitive receptors or residents nearby. The EIR covered 14 different resource topic areas as required by CEQA. Covering everything from aesthetics to utilities. And as part of that, most of the resource topic areas did not result in significant impacts, but those who did, we did provide mitigation measures for agricultural resources, air quality, biological resources, and cultural resources, and geology. There were two impacts related to greenhouse gas emissions that were significant and unavoidable. There are no feasible mitigation measures to reduce those impacts to a less than significant level. Therefore, the significant and unavoidable level is the reason for an EIR for this project. The public review period occurred between November 1st and December 18th. During that time period, we did receive several comment letters. We provided responses to each one of those comment letters in the final EIR that's included in your packet. In addition, a comment letter was received outside of the public comment period. We did provide responses to that as well, and that should also be in your packet. The responses are, like I said, are included. There are minor revisions that were made, text edits in the final EIR. Those do not result in any changes to the determinations or the analysis. Those are merely refinements to the project or to the mitigation measures. Those are all included in the in your packet for review. The recommendations of the EIR is to adopt the findings that are included as part of the project, determine that they are applicable, that the mitigation measures will be applicable, and it can implement to reduce those mitigation measures, and then to prepare a resolution documenting the committee's actions. If you have any questions,
I'm just curious, how long did it take to prepare this? How long have you been working on this?
Off and on since 2019. It kind of depends on workflow issues related to different types of resources that we had to evaluate. So traffic studies, for example, take a little while because there's some scoping that needs to be done with not only the county but other agencies. So it kind of depends on that. Different workflows, there's more intense workflows depending on what type of resource topic areas. We did biological resources, cultural resources studies that were also completed. Those are done early on in the stage for evaluation. So it hasn't been like 40 hours a week right. for years, but it has been depending on the on this resource topic area we're looking at.
Thank you.
I had a question. It was more for conflicting numbers that I saw. On page 11 of the staff report, it talks about traffic trips, 66.4 daily truck trips. And then in Exhibit 6, page 3, it says 6.4 field trucks per day average. Are the field trucks ones that aren't on the road, that they're coming from surrounding properties over dirt roads, or is the number wrong?
Generally speaking, I think what the issue is related to truck trips for hauling materials versus service vehicles, I guess you could say, related to like you mentioned, farm field trucks or service that for the sites themselves related.
Well, what would the right number be as far as hauling material?
Well, it kind of depends. That's one of the issues with the traffic study, because with that we have different harvest periods, harvest seasons. So the peak traffic generated during The harvest period is the higher number, the 66 per day, but that would be, you know, a very constrained time period over a few months, and that would be the issues with public roadways. During the off season, we don't have those trucks going back and forth to the site.
Okay. And then said the nearest single family residence is 4,000 feet away. Is that the southeast corner from the satellite view that it's
essentially
saw?
East of the site, correct. The Pilibus Ranch.
It's closer than 4,000 feet, but
it's Pilibus Ranch is across the street from the facility itself.
Do people live there or no?
We treat it as people do live there for providing a more conservative analysis.
Okay. Any other questions of the speaker? Thank you very much. Anyone else to speak in support of this application?
Good morning, Mr. Chairman, members of the Planning Commission. I'm Dirk Pushel, and my business address is 923 Van Ness here in Fresno. And I'm here this morning on behalf of the applicant, Mr. Tom Stephanopoulos, who's been a pioneer in the pistachio industry, planting the first batch of pistachios in 1972. Our project team is with us if you have questions of them that I can't answer. Mr. Stephanopoulos currently grows and harvests approximately 13,500 acres of pistachios in a 7 square mile area. We specifically located the proposed site literally central to the property because, as Commissioner Abrahamian was mentioning, many of the harvesting activities are now being taken care of and they're on their own property by their own tractors. So all of the activities to collect the pistachios and then ultimately haul them to a processing facility in Firebaugh are occurring now. And essentially, the project eliminates that component from the Stephanopoulos property to Firebaugh. It's a 25.3-mile trip one way, about 50 miles return trip. There's an 84-day harvest season. There were project goals that were established principally for Mr. Stephanopoulos and his firm to be able to bring in his own pistachios and process them for a variety of business reasons. With respect to the findings, staff concurs with us that the site is adequate in size and shape to accommodate the proposed use. Finding number two, Pinoche Roadway is a collector. There were traffic counts that were taken as part of the environmental impact report. There's about 1,556 trips that are occurring there now. There is clearly adequate capacity for the trips that are proposed. The EIR consultant prepared a traffic study that was consistent with the scope prepared and approved by Caltrans. No study intersections will operate at unacceptable levels. Caltrans also had an opportunity to comment on the environmental impact report and said that the project traffic study was adequate. Cumulatively, the project's going to reduce traffic trips, truck trips, about 200,000 trips, because we'll be able to eliminate. Jazz, if you could give me picture number three, please. I think that gives it. Yeah, thank you. Three. I think it's this one here. Excuse me. This is the existing facility where Mr. Stephanopoulos harvests his 7 square miles of pistachios, and currently they make a 50-mile trip to Firebaugh. There's an existing facility there that processes their pistachios. From the facility that processes the pistachios, it ultimately ends up at the consumer. This is the component that's going to be eliminated by the proposed project. In other words, the processing plant that's now 25 miles away one way is going to be located at the central point of the Stephanopoulos property. This trip remains the same, and the consumer remains exactly the same. The project results in fewer truck trips over county miles, which means less wear and tear on those roads, corresponding air quality reduction in impacts, reduced accidents, and it's consistent with one of the project goals that allows Mr. Stephanopoulos in Fresno County to be more cost competitive in the production of their product. Finding number three, there was an evaluation of water. There'll be a major recycling effort. We have been granted a waste discharge permit by the regional board, who found that our recharge program is acceptable and consistent with their requirements. As Kyle mentioned, we also underwent a health risk assessment, and that health risk assessment evaluated the potential for an adult to live on the subject site for 30 years and children for 9 years without leaving the property. And in other words, under continuous exposure of whatever potential pollutants would be emitted from the project. And the health risk assessment estimated that the project would be under the San Joaquin Valley Air District threshold by more than half. There is an issue with respect to the California Green Building Standards, which require the project to meet net zero emissions requirements, which would essentially require electric dryers, and they are technologically and impossible to obtain. They're just not available. I should also add that the San Joaquin Unified Air Pollution Control District has granted an authority to construct the facility. The project is also consistent with CARB Air Quality Land Use Handbook guidelines for locating new projects such as this, and that no impacts were associated with the project other than not being able to comply with the net zero requirement because we cannot dry our pistachios with electricity. A comprehensive noise study was also undertaken. You should know that the facility walls are going to be 8-inch thick and insulated. We placed the machinery as far to the west and north as possible. The EIR concluded that the effect of longer-term ambient noise levels would be small when compared to the existing daily traffic volumes on Pinoche Road. There's also a recycling component. Many of the holes can be recycled for either food or landscape waste and mulch, and we will be undertaking that effort as well. The project is consistent with the general plan. I'm not going to get into all of the different components, but there were five specific references to the general plan. If you look at the very first page of the general plan in the very first sentence, the primary goal of the general plan is, in fact, to protect agriculture. And this is a classic example of Fresno County trying to add value to these pistachios. Staff can make all of the findings for the variance. We also acknowledge that the project will save thousands of dollars in employee travel time, reduce truck miles traveled by thousands of miles, allow the Stimolus the capability of continuing to process its pistachios in Fresno County. There are some substantial economic advantages associated with the project, and I have articles that I'm going to leave with your staff and the clerk, and they are from published by various expert sources relative to the positive economic impacts of the pistachio facilities in various California communities. I won't get into the details. I do have a graph, and if I could go to four, please. There's various types of traffic that is associated with the project, and that's there are 84 days, and this is the raw material that comes in from the pistachio fields. We tried to graph over time when those traffic trips would occur. And then these are other background trips, for example, employees, processed product, and then marketable waste, and also waste, pure waste, that has little or no economic value. The EIR prepared a comprehensive traffic study. We have a substantial distance of stacking area on the site plan for trucks, and we have a 98-acre site, which is provides substantial area for parking and staging so that there'll be no impact to Pinoche Road. That concludes my presentation. I'd be happy to answer any questions if you have them of me.
Thank you, Dirk. In the operational statement refers to 14 total employees, or are there more during the peak season?
That's the maximum. We actually go down to two off-peak, so it's 14 maximum.
But during peak, 14 is enough, especially when you reach your full build-out?
14 will remain the same. It's a highly automated facility, Chairman Abrahamian, very different than the pistachio facilities that are existing in the valley now. So we can process these pistachios with much less labor.
Okay. Any other questions or comments?
What did you say was about 2 months was a peak harvest season?
Yes, ma'am. It's the 84 days. 84 days.
Commissioner Wolf.
In the application, it says that no outside pistachios are being processed.
That's correct.
And yet, the phase two, phase three, phase four show the processing plant doubling in size, if not more.
Mm-hmm. The site is subject to the Williamson Act contract.
That's correct.
You're expanding.
Yes, there's two components, Commissioner Wolf. First is we're still under a Williamson Act contract, but as long as Mr. Stephanopoulos farms and processes his own material, that's a consistent project. As a mitigation measure, however, the staff has asked us to file a notice of non-renewal on this property, and we are in the process of doing so. It's a condition that will be required before we are issued building permits. And ultimately, Mr. Stephanopoulos believes that more of the properties that he owns will be able to produce pistachios, therefore utilizing these different phases. But we are not taking other people's pistachios. It's all from our properties.
Forever.
For long as this permit's here.
Well, that's not how I read it, though. I read that as long as it's subject to the Williamson Act, you can only process crops from the property owned by the owner. Because if it's forever, what happens if the owner of the property sold the property but not the processing plant? Does that mean he won't get any pistachios?
There's the conditional use permit runs with the land, and the application was specific that Mr. Stephanopoulos will only process his own pistachios. As a related condition, we were under the Williamson Act. We are still under the Williamson Act. And so staff asked us to, as long as you process your own pistachios, you can be in the Williamson Act as long as you file this notice of non-renewal. So there's two components that are restricting this operation. One is the operational statement, which says it's our own pistachios. And then, at least with respect to the time period, as you've mentioned, Mr. Abrahamian, we won't be able to take anyone else's pistachios. But we would have to come back here if we wanted to modify the nature of the permit to allow other farmers to bring their pistachios to this facility.
That's fair enough.
Okay, well, the way I read it was condition, under conditions, Exhibit 1, page 5, number 5, that it shall only process pistachio crops grown and harvested from the pistachio orchards owned by the owner while the 98-acre project site is still under the Williamson Act contract. So I read that meaning that when you're no longer under the Williamson Act contract, you don't have to restrict it to those orchards owned by the owner. I want to clarify for Commissioner Wolf and for the others. So staff is that correct, or would they have to come back after the Williamson Act contract expires?
So there's two things that control this issue. The condition that you're referring to about the not taking material while under Williamson Act prohibits it for that time period. The operational statement, as he's indicated, also they have to comply, which states they're only going to do their own. However, if at some point in the future they were to want some type of change, they would have to come back to, say, amend their application to change their operational statement to allow outside items. The intent of the one condition was really to address the specific restriction because of the Williamson Act provision. I want to make that a clear, concise issue.
Out of curiosity, how is that monitored down the road if they're bringing in other outside growers' nuts? Does anybody, is there a police group that goes out and says, wait a minute, this pile's from Joe down the road? I mean, who even monitors this?
Basically, it would be on a complaint basis. So if somebody were to file an objection with code enforcement, they would have to say, we are not in compliance with this. It's obvious that there is some difficulty in proving that and policing it, but at least the intent, the applicants clearly made their intent. The restrictions are there because that's what the law provides for. We really don't have a better way. We don't think there's an appropriate mechanism that's not so draconian as to require, you know, pistachio police on site all day long. They just couldn't do it.
Okay. Would it have been possible for the applicant to have, if they had changed their operational statement, to have modified it to say that once they're out of the Williamson Act, they would it require more staff studies or?
It would have changed the analysis on the traffic probably, and maybe some of the air quality, et cetera.
Okay. But the applicant's representative has stated that if they need to, or if that time comes, they'll come back with the appropriate permits and applications.
That's correct.
Okay.
I have one other question.
Yes.
Currently they're getting their pistachios processed in Fireball. Where are the other pistachio processing plants? Because they choose to go to Fireball, that's an option. Where are the other ones in the area, and is there a map that can give us an idea?
I don't know where those are, Commissioner.
Okay, well, I know the owner does know for sure, so
I'm sure they do.
To hear that answer, because I do know there are a number of them in the area.
Well, this is where they've been going for quite some time, and
That's their choice.
I'm sorry?
That's their choice. It doesn't mean that it's the closest one.
Yes, and there's business decisions related to that we don't really want to get into, but for one reason or another, this is where they've been taking their pistachios for quite some time. And if you want to know where the other ones are, we'll get that answer for you.
Thank you. Okay.
Thank you.
Any other questions, Mr. Pushel? Thank you. The next speaker in support of this application.
Good morning, Mr. Chairman, board members. My name is Richard Matoyan, 703 West Jefferson Avenue. I've worked in the ag industry my entire career, 30 years as a CEO, president of California Fresh Fruit Association, California Fig Advisory Board, and the last 16 years as president of the American Pistachio Growers. American Pistachio Growers represents growers in the states of California, Arizona, and New Mexico, and we represent member processors as well. In the year 2000, there were approximately 74,000 bearing acres of pistachios in California. Today, there are more than 464,000 bearing acres, and it is anticipated the industry will grow to 689,000 bearing acres by the year 2031. Pistachio production topped 1 billion pounds in 2020, and based upon a study commissioned by American Pistachio Growers, production will double to 2 billion pounds by 2031. So it took the industry about 35 plus years to get to its first 1 billion pounds, and within the next 7 years, will now double to 2 billion pounds. So a very quick rise in production of this important commodity. So what is the greatest limiting factor for pistachio production? Well, besides water, which is vital to this valley. It's processing capacity. There are seven processors currently in the pistachio industry that represent about 95% of current processing capacity. Each one of those will need to increase their capacity over the next several years to meet this booming production that is coming. And new processors will be needed. So this proposed stimulus facility is vitally needed for this industry for the following reasons. It provides an additional facility to meet the increased production that's coming. Each new entity adds additional capacity and stability needed by the industry. Processing of pistachios from the orchards to the processing plant requires them to be processed within 24 hours. The reason for that is if you don't process them quickly, the outside hull starts to adhere to the shell. And when that happens, you have staining on the shell, which is a blemish. Consumers don't like that, so they need to be processed within 24 hours. This facility will be located within their orchards, making for quick and efficient harvesting and processing. It should be noted that there is no current technology to adequately dry these pistachios by electricity. Gas is the most efficient way to dry pistachios to a stable moisture content. Stimulus processing facility will employ a number of additional people, some of them part-time, but some of them more year-round in their facility. They'll be located in an area that has traditionally had challenges with unemployment, the cities of Mendota, the cities of Fireball. So this will be a great assistance to employment in that area. I've reviewed the draft EIR, not all hundreds of pages, but certainly quite a bit of them. And I believe this is a very thorough EIR. And the entity that you're dealing with has had a very, very good reputation for growing quality products. I've personally seen their pistachio orchards and their nuts, and they do a fantastic job in growing and harvesting. So I just ask you to keep Fresno County focused on pistachio production and processing, help the industry be competitive, and approve this very important project. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Any questions? Thank you, Mr. Matoyan. Anyone else to speak in support of this application?
Good morning, Mr. Chairman. Good morning, board members. I'm Paul Dickles, Fresno County Assessor Recorder. I currently manage a tax roll of $110 billion. And I always welcome additions to the tax roll. The money that we're going to get in taxes will help the regional, the area schools, will help the police, will help the firefighters. So I encourage you to vote for it because money talks.
Thank you. Mr. Dictos, I'm sure you're aware that we don't consider financial conditions at all.
I know, but I have to say that because I'm in charge of the tax roll, and anytime you add to the tax roll, I'm happy.
Thank you very much. Any questions?
Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Dictos. Anyone else to speak in support of this application? Okay, is there anyone opposed to this application?
Good morning. Good morning. My name is Sarah Pelibos. I'm here representing Pelibos Brothers. That address is 3580 South Newcomb in Mendota. I'm representing our family farming operation, Pelibos Brothers. It's directly across the street from the proposed stimulus pistachio plant. My purpose is to state for the record that our family are opposed to the plant being developed based on its current design. Just its design. We have serious concerns as to how Stimulus land will use will directly impact our farming operation, our ranch access, and most significantly, the health and the safety of our camp residents and employees. We expressed our concerns to Mr. Simpson at the scoping meeting on July 25th, 2000.